Amen. That's good. Take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, would you? 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very familiar verse, and we'll use it as our text tonight. One of the great verses of Scripture, but there's hundreds of them and hundreds of great verses. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, we will look down at verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want you to notice there in verse 16 where the Bible's talking about the Scripture says it's profitable. It is profitable. Now, we like things that are profitable. We like profit. The only problem is when most Americans think of profit, we're thinking of money. And that's the way we rate to. We think if something is profitable, then that means there's a buck in it. And we're interested in that. But on the other hand, most everybody would say there is more to life than money. There's a lot more to it. But we live like money is all there is oftentimes. A lot of people in this whole world live like money is the only thing there is. But the Bible says the Scripture is profitable. The Scripture is profitable. Now, I'll be honest with you. I believe I'm holding in my hand the Scriptures. Amen. I believe that with all that's within me. I believe this old King James Bible is Scripture. I believe it's given to us by God. I'm not too worried. I don't care what the scholar says or doesn't say. Doesn't bother me, or the liberal, the skeptic. I don't care. This is the very Word of God for you and I. I mean, it is. And you say, well, why? Don't have time to tell you that tonight, okay? There's multiple reasons, but I will say this. One reason I believe it is because I've tried it and it works. I've just put it into use and I found out it works, all right? And if this is the Word of God, it is Scripture, and the Bible says that it is profitable, then there ought to be some reasons to look at it. So I want to preach to you tonight on why Scripture is profitable, all right? Why Scripture is profitable. I'll be honest, I'm going to give you four reasons, all right? Four very simple reasons. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast, we'll go home early, all right? I'll be honest with you, sometimes the preacher has trouble with the flesh. I was sitting up here thinking, I think I'm just going to get up and say, what do you say we just adjourn and everybody, let's go in mass to Brahms. How many of you in favor of that? Yeah. And then what I was going to say is, there's the carnal people in the crowd, all right? But it was me that thought of the idea too, so all right? We're not doing that, all right? Well, but I'll try to preach fast so you can get ahead of the line down there, if you will, all right? The first reason I believe the Scripture is profitable is because God has a plan. God has a plan. And that plan is revealed to us in the Word of God. Go over to the book of Daniel, Old Testament prophet Daniel, chapter 2. I want you to see this. When we talk about God having a plan, God has a plan for nations, okay? God has a plan for nations, and he's laid that out, okay? And in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, now y'all going to have to find Scripture fast if I'm going to preach fast, okay? Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Notice, he sets up kings, he removes kings, and he does those kind of things. Well, he's got a plan for nations. Every nation, God has a plan. And kings are put in there to rule kingdoms. God works out his plan for the nations just according to his will. That I don't believe there's any nation in this world that exists apart from the plan of God. You say, well, what's the plan of God for Eritrea? I have no idea. I didn't say I know everything about the plan of God, but I'm saying, yeah, I believe God has a plan. I believe God has a plan for every nation on the face of this earth. It's no accident nations are born. I've mentioned to you in the past, you know, we may not understand why nations are raised up, but God has a reason. There's some we do. I believe, without a shadow of doubt, he raised up Babylon to punish Israel for their idolatry. And Babylon took the nation of Israel, especially southern kingdom of Judah. He took them into captivity for 70 years. Guess what? It cured them of their idolatry. Since that day, they've not had a problem with idolatry, all right? They've not worshipped idols. I believe he raised up the nation of Persia to get the Hebrews back to their homeland. They had a king named Cyrus. Cyrus signed a decree allowing the Jews to go back to the Holy Land. I believe God raised that nation up for that reason. You say, well, why did he raise up Israel? Multitude of reasons. One, so we could have this book. Amen. We could have this book. Two, we could have a Savior. Amen. We could have a Savior. And I believe he's brought the nation back to keep his promise to his chosen people. That's why that nation's over there today. I believe there's a reason he raised up the United States of America. Honestly, one of the great reasons I believe he raised up the United States was to get the gospel to the whole world. God blessed us with resources. The nation of the United States has sent more missionaries around this world than any other nation, and that's what we were supposed to do, by the way, all right? We're supposed to do that. So he had a reason for that. He had a plan for the nations. Hey, I believe he's got a plan for men too. Look in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, would you? There's a plan. He's got a plan. He's working that plan. And the scripture's profitable because it's the scripture that lets us in on the plan of God. All right? Romans 9, look if you will down in verse 17. Verse 17, Romans 9, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Hey, Pharaoh, I don't believe ever realized God was using him to work out his plan. But he was using Pharaoh. He had a plan for Pharaoh. He raised him up for that purpose and to work out his plan for his people. Why? Because God has a plan. He's working that plan. But let's draw it closer. He's got a plan for you. Got a plan for you. You ever stop and think about that? You might or might not say amen when I say God has a plan for you. And some of you may sit and think, it's hard for me to believe God has a plan for me. But I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, God has a plan for each and every one of us. I believe he's got a plan for you, right? Now, our problem is we think, well, you know, I don't think he's got a plan for me because I don't have all these great abilities. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's not that. That's not important. God has a plan for you, and he's got a plan for your life. You say, well, I don't know what it is. Boy, am I glad you said that. It's right here. It's right here. Get in this book. Get in this book. Remember what we said? Remember our text? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. It'll give you that plan. It'll give you that plan. You said, preacher, I hadn't figured it out yet, and I've read the Bible once. Good. Keep reading it. Amen. Keep reading it. Just keep reading. I'm telling you, there's a plan there. But not only does God have a plan, but I believe this, God's laid down a pattern. He's laid down a pattern. Look there in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We were in 2 Timothy a while ago. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice what verse 16 says. Here's the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, saying, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. to them which should hereafter believe on him the life everlasting. A pattern. God gives us a pattern to follow in our life. There's a pattern to do it. Just as a seamstress has some kind of pattern normally. Now, I know there's gifted people that can take cloth and a sewing machine and there it is. But most of you use a pattern. Most of you use a pattern. I can remember my mom. She'd lay out that pattern and she'd pin it. And then I can remember my wife. She'd lay out her pattern, you know, in the cloth, and she'd pin it to it, and she'd cut it, and why? Following the pattern. Following the pattern. A pattern's a good thing, all right? Our God has a pattern for us. Look in Titus. If you're in Timothy, you go to 2 Timothy, then you get to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 7, would you? Here's what the Bible says. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Then he goes on to talk about sound speech and other things. He said, we ought to show a pattern in our life of good works. Now, it's hard for us to show that pattern if we don't follow his pattern for us. You say, well, what's his pattern for us? I believe we get a little picture of it over in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, all right? And just turn over there, 2 Peter chapter 1, getting close to the end of the scriptures, getting close to the end of the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look in verse 3, would you? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he begins, I think, lay out this pattern. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your what? Faith. So it starts with faith. Hey, you can't be saved apart from faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. But then the Bible said, hey, there's something to add to your faith. Add some virtue. And then to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, there's the pattern. Here's my life. I got saved. I trusted the Lord by faith. Now what do? You add some things to it. You add virtue. All right? You add knowledge. You add temperance. You add patience. You add godliness. You add brotherly kindness. You add charity. All those things get added in. You heap them on. Add that stuff up. Why? We need all of that. There's the pattern in our life, okay? Put those things in there. Don't leave them out. So many of God's people that say, well, I had faith, I trusted the Lord. Yeah, and you quit. You quit right there. You never got any further than that. You never let it get beyond just faith, all right? You didn't follow the pattern all the way. God has that pattern for you, all right? His pattern's in the book. He said, how am I going to add virtue? Get in your Bible. How am I going to add, you know, brotherly kindness? It's going to be hard. No, it doesn't have to be. Hey, all those things, they can be in. Hey, that pattern is described for us in the pages of the Word of God. You'll never get it until you get in the Bible. Hey, that's one reason you come to church. You listen to the preaching of the Word of God. You come to Sunday school to hear the teaching of the Word of God. Why? I want to get that pattern down. I want to get that pattern down. If you'll follow the pattern that he's established, you can and will succeed, and you can prosper as a Christian. I was sitting here thinking, and it just come to mind, that word pattern. I remember when I was taking training to get a pilot's license, and they talk about staying in the pattern, which is at the field, the airfield, all right? And Where I trained, most of my training was out at Arrow Valley. I think they've changed the name of that now to something else. But in those days when I was training, the pattern was all on the west side of the field. The east side of the field was a reserved, what they call an envelope, for people that were doing, I guess, what you call aerobatics, all right? And flying the airplane, doing flips and twists and spins and all that kind of thing. Kind of thing you watch and it makes you sick just watching it, you know. So you stayed out of that area, and those fellas that were doing that, they stayed away. They stayed on the east side of the field. Those that were landing and taking off, we stayed on the west side of the field. And I remember the day the instructor told me, he said, "Hey, we're just going to stay in the pattern today." And I didn't get suspicious. He said, "Let's stay in the pattern. Let's make, you know, about three touch-and-go landings." So we took off and made a right turn, made another right turn, went down, made another right turn, and another right turn, and thank goodness there was the runway, all right? And so came in and landed. And the second time as we're landing, he said, "Just roll out and let me get out, and then you finish up." Do what? "You mean you're getting out of the airplane and I'm here?" Now, I didn't say that, but I did think it. I thought about it. So, well, how'd you do? Well, see, what you got to understand, there was a pattern. There was a pattern that had been taught. Every time we approached the field, he said the same thing. That instructor. He talked about line it up, pull the power back, get, you know, establish your glide pattern, establish your gliding speed. And man, we lined it up. When he got out of the airplane, I went back to the end of the runway, shoved that power forward, and I'm thinking, "Lord, this could be the last flight I ever make." Now, I didn't really think that. But I got out, took off, and all the time I could hear him. He wasn't there, but I could hear him. Why? The pattern was there. The pattern was there. Look, you want success in your Christian life? God's got a pattern. Stay with that pattern. Just stick with that pattern. Don't deviate from it. God's got it. It's laid out for us in the Word of God. You want to succeed. You want to prosper. He's got a pattern. Stay with that pattern, all right? Stay with that pattern. Hey, he's got a plan. He's got a plan for you. He's got a pattern. Got a pattern for your life. Got a pattern for your life. Look, the Christian life follows a pattern. You do those things. Do those things. He said, why'd you come to Sunday school? That's the pattern I've been in for 69 years. Been in that pattern 69 years. I didn't start it. My parents started it. And it was every Sunday morning, we're going to church. You're going to Sunday school, you're going to church. Sunday night, you're going to church. Wednesday night, you're going to church. And we went. The pattern was set, all right? Been that way all my life. And on Sunday, I don't get up and think, what I'll do today. I'm going to go to church. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. I get up. I don't know how y'all do at home. I get up. The pattern, what's for breakfast? That's the pattern, all right? I try not to deviate from that pattern. I like it, okay? And a lot of times at breakfast, I'll ask my wife, what are we planning to have for lunch? You say, why? There's a pattern. There's a pattern. But I'll tell you, even better, as a Christian, there's a pattern. You're serving the Lord. Here I am. I've got that pattern going. It's laid down. I've learned it. I'm going to stick with that pattern. I get up. I make out my check for my tithes and my offerings. Put it in there. Why? It's the pattern. That's the pattern. I'm following the pattern. God has a pattern for you. Now let me say this. Number three, God has a path. God has a path for you to take. Remember what we're doing? Don't forget. This is why the Scripture's profitable. This is why the Scripture's profitable. Don't forget what we're preaching to you tonight. Look in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. We're over in the book of Isaiah chapter 30. I'm saying again, God has a path, and we're to take His path. We're to take His path. In Isaiah chapter 30, down in verse 21, Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. This is the way, walk in it. Hey, there, God has a path. God has a path. Now, you and I choose the path we're going to walk. We choose the path. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua was speaking nearing the end of his life, and he told the nation of Israel that he had led for many, many years. He said, now you choose this day who you're going to serve. He said, it's your choice. See, you choose the path you take. Now you say, well, no, I got pushed into it. No, you didn't. You chose the path. And by the way, if you're on the wrong path, you can choose to get on the right one, okay? You don't have to stay in the wrong path. But, it's up to you. If you choose not to serve the Lord, then you choose not to walk in His path. It's just that simple. I'm not going to take the path you have laid out for me. I was duck hunting with my cousin one time, years ago, and we were wading in, we had on chest waders, and we're wading in what amounted to a swamp, okay? And we got to this one place, and he said, follow me. I mean, there was no landmarks. It was a big open stretch of water. There were no landmarks whatsoever. And he said, you follow me. He said, if you get off, it's going to get deeper than you want to be in. So I followed him. I didn't mind that. I'd rather follow him than to be in the lead. Because if he went out of sight, I'd at least try to mark the spot so I could tell him where to find his body, all right? But he knew the path. I didn't know that path. And I tell you what, God's laid down a path for us, all right? And by the way, it's old path, nothing new about it. The Bible even tells us, ask for the old path, all right? It's the one, it's the good one. Now, a lot of people get off that path. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Sad, sad thing, but a lot of people get off the path that they should be on. And by the way, know they should be on. Psalm 119, verse 67. Bible said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, did you get that? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's why he was afflicted, because he got astray, all right? I got off the path. A lot of people get off the path. Getting off that path, you say, what's it going to do? You're going to have trouble. You're going to run into pain. There's going to be suffering. Hey, maybe even destruction. Why? You got off the path. Don't get off his path, all right? I guarantee you this. You may survive it, but it'll beat up the vehicle you're driving through life. It will beat up that vehicle you've got. I've been riding with a guy one time that thought his VW was an off-road vehicle. I mean, it was just the VW Beetle, you know? And I was with that guy, and he thought it was an off-road vehicle. For some reason, the vehicle didn't last very long. I think it had to do with the fact that that VW Beetle was not made for what he put it through. And by the way, you're not made to walk off the path God's laid down. God made us to walk the path that He's assigned for us. And when we get off that path, we take a beating. Just take a beating. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? But this is why the Scripture's profitable, because that path is revealed in the Bible. The Bible said in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has a path. I told you God has a plan for you. He has, and he's got a pattern for your life. He's got a path for you to walk. And lastly, I won't say this, God has a purpose. He's got a purpose. I mentioned to you earlier, He has a purpose for nations. He has a purpose for kings. He has a purpose for individuals. I'm convinced you are no accident. No accident. Look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, would you? Philippians chapter 1. You see this verse. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6. What a great verse. What an encouraging verse for you and me. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose. You may say, well, I just feel like I'm just kind of, you know, like a stick in a stream and just going wherever the stream. That's not the way God made for you to do. That means you're not following the pattern he's laid down. You've got out of the plan for your life. You're sure not on the path he's got. Therefore, you're not fulfilling the purpose there is for you. Now, I want to tell you, I believe it's a great tragedy when God's children do not fulfill the purpose he has for them. To fulfill the purpose he has for them. You said, preacher, what is that? It has to do with the will of God for you. And that is what you find by seeking his will. And if you'll seek his will, he'll reveal that will to you. He will make known to you what his will is for your life. You don't have to run from it. You don't have to be afraid of it. Man, it's the best place for you to possibly be. Just to fulfill the purpose you're here for. You say, what is that? Could be a lot of things. Could be a lot of things. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities. Your purpose. I believe this, when you are through and you have fulfilled your purpose, I believe the Lord will take you out of here. I believe the Lord will take you out of here. That means you're still here, still got a purpose. Your work, your job, it's not finished. Well, I just feel like I'm worthless. I can remember my dad saying that. He would say, man, I'm just worthless. I can't do anything. I said, no, you just can't do what you could do when you were 60, all right? You can't do that, but you have a purpose, all right? What a tragedy. We don't fulfill that purpose God has for you. What is that purpose? You'll never find it outside the Scripture. You'll never find it outside the Scripture. You see, God's going to reveal his will to you through this word. Hey, the Bible, the Scripture's profitable. Profitable. It shows you the plan of God for your life. It'll give you the pattern you need to follow to do it. He'll give you the path you need to walk right here. And he'll show you the purpose, and you can fulfill that purpose, all right? You're involved in his plan. You're to follow his pattern. You're to take his path, and you're to fulfill your purpose. So how you doing? How are you doing? I'm serious. I want you to think about it. How are you doing on that? How are you doing there tonight? Four things. A plan, a pattern, a path, and a purpose. How are you doing? How are you doing on those things? You're going to really struggle with a purpose if you don't get the first three right. If you don't get those first three down, you're going to really struggle fulfilling your purpose. But it's, once again, it's up to you. Don't blame me. Don't blame your parents. Don't blame your circumstances. Don't blame the environment. Hey, it's you. And it's your choice and the choices you make. How you doing on those four things and those four areas? I'm not here to beat you up, but I'm here to challenge you. I want you to think about it tonight. How are you doing on those? Have you got the plan of God figured out for you? Are you working in that pattern he's laid? Staying in the pattern? Are you on the path? Are you out there breaking new ground? No, stay in the path, okay? Fulfill your purpose. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us tonight?